This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. You are invited to join us May the 2nd for Welcome Back Sunday as we celebrate our return to traditional face-to-face worship services with a fellowship hour following. We will celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion, served as you prefer, either in your pew or at the communion rail. We are excited to announce the return of our traditional worship service and hope that you will join us. Of course, the service will continue to be broadcast on Zoom as we worship safely with any precautions that you may wish to observe. You're also invited to join us at 10 a.m. prior to our service for a time of praise music and videos. Visit our website at rocksprangsumc.org or like us on Facebook. We look forward to seeing you this Sunday at 1515 Egger Street, just above the high school here in Rock Springs for Welcome Back Sunday.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Sunday, April 25th, 2021. We are a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Good morning, church. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Oh God, we are gathered here under the shelter of your wings, nurtured and encouraged to fly by faith on the wind of your spirit. You have spoken to us, saying, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles." Teach us how to wait, that we may learn how to fly. May this nest we call church be built with sturdy materials. Don't let us forget that this nest was not created as a fortress behind which to hide, but as a perch from which to take off. And strengthen us with the assurance that we do not fly alone. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us prepare our hearts to go before the Lord in prayer. Let us take a moment in silence as we find ourselves in the presence of a living, loving, and gracious God. Let us pray. O Lord our God, from whom can we seek help? Our help is in the Lord, through Christ our Savior and Redeemer we come. Father, we come first seeking forgiveness for our sins. Father, for the things we have done that we should not have, and for the things we have not done that we should have, for the words of encouragement left unsaid, and the words of harm that we have shared, for the thoughts that should not have been, and for the things we have coveted in our hearts, for the anger that may have been, or the frustration from deep within. Father, we bring it all to you, knowing that we are not perfect, but we trust in He who is, Jesus our Christ. And it's in His name we come, Father, not because we are worthy, but because He is. And because Christ is worthy and has died and given Himself for us, we can come. We can come before you knowing that the blood of Christ takes away our sin. And we thank you and we praise you. And we do seek your forgiveness for our sins.
Father, let us not find ourselves on a lofty perch from which we could judge others. Let us not find ourselves with a gavel in our hand, ready to cast a verdict. Let us not find ourselves with the keys of freedom, ready only to do our will rather than yours. And Father, let us seek to serve you and to forgive as we have been forgiven. Help us to lay aside all of the vices of life and all the isms that separate us. Let us put them to rest in you, that we wouldn't see socioeconomic positions, colors, but that we would see another person who is just as loved by you as we are. Let us love one another as you have loved us. And Father, we pray for the leaders in our communities. Let us remind all peoples that leaders are first and foremost servants to do that will which is of those for whom they find themselves responsible, to ensure their safety, their well-being, their growth, and their challenges. Father, we pray for leaders in our nation and around the world. We see violence breaking out again in the Middle East. We see the unrest on our borders. We hear the divisive talk and language around our nation. And Father, where we see this, we need to see evil at work. For you are a God not of chaos, but of order, not of division, but of unity, not of hatred and anger, but of love and grace, patience and peace. Let us see that there is an enemy among us, and let us know that it isn't of flesh and blood, as the Apostle Paul reminds us, but that it is of spirits and principalities in high places. Father, give us discernment to see truth, to live in integrity every day. Father, we pray for our leaders in our country and around the world to do the same, to lead in truth, honesty, and integrity, looking out for the good of the many instead of one. Father, we pray today for peace around the world, for those who suffer from whatever it may be, from a natural disaster to oppression, from everything. Father, we pray release and peace. We pray for those who are in hospitals, shut-ins in their own homes, for those who care for them, who take care of them and go the extra mile with them. Father, we lift them up to you today. And now we'd ask that you hear us, as in heart and voice we pray, as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning, we're going to be reading from John 10, verses 11 through 8. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am a good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The word of God for the people of God.
Before we really get into the message this morning, I've got to set a bit of a historical context for it. Historical context for the scripture. I think a lot of times when we're reading our Bible, we don't get all that's there because maybe we don't know all that is there. That, if you will, influences the writing of these disciples, particularly here, John. We have to wonder, John writes in chapter 20, that he just wrote this much because there would be not enough books to hold all of what Jesus had done. So in 21 chapters, John has to pick out what of the life of Jesus, the 3.5 years that he followed him, what of all that had went on he could pick to share. So that's quite a volume. I don't know about you, but looking at 3.5 years of a relationship and a friendship, it would probably be more than 21 chapters in a book to tell all of what it went on. So you have to think about it. Okay, why is John picking out this particular thing to include? And it's the Good Shepherd passage. I hope that this is a familiar passage to you. And it is, I am the Good Shepherd, and I love my sheep. But it's also got a message that's pretty striking and hard against the Pharisees and the religious leadership in that day. You see, the problem was, we have this guy who's named John the Baptist. Do you remember him? Who was dressed in funny-looking clothes and ate strange things, and he came out of the wilderness. But do you remember his daddy? What was his daddy's name? Bible study, Bible quiz this morning? Zacharias. Do you remember what his job was? Tick-tock, 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 tick-tock. Push the button. He was what? He was a priest in the temple. He was in charge of the temple. You see, he should have been high priest. And his son John, by Jewish tradition, of the family of the Levites, should have been high priest while Jesus was in the countryside. You see, there was a problem in the temple. The problem was politics. Imagine that. You see, these old Jewish people were troublemakers, you see. They were rebels. They were rabble-rousers. It had only been about 100 years since the Maccabean Revolt, and the Romans really had a hard time with those. They fight to the end of stuff. I mean, think about it. They've been fighting since they became a people. They've been fighting giants. They've been fighting all Philistines and all of these people. So you got to think about it. So the Romans looked at this and they thought, man, we got a mess down there in Galilee. We got that Jewish temple down there in Jerusalem. And we got Herod, who's a Jew. And we have an idea. Why don't we appoint a high priest that will do our will and keep those people from causing problems? So Caiaphas, instead of Zacharias and John the Baptist, He became a political appointee under Caesar. Well, Pastor, how do you know this? Well, do you remember during the Easter stories when we read that Jesus was going to be crucified? Do you remember what Caiaphas told Pilate? Do you people read your book? Now, you need to listen to us because it'll go bad with you with Caesar when I tell him. Do you remember that? Carrie's giving me that look over here. Give us what we want, or it's going to look bad. We'll cause problems. We'll cause problems. You see, under Caiaphas, we have tax collectors like Matthew, who was actually a Levite, who should have been in the temple too. But you get tax collectors, and Jesus is punching them in the nose right here. When he says, I am the good shepherd, but these people who have been hired, these priests who are on the hook because of task and duty. You see, this is why they opposed Jesus. He was challenging the spirit of the law, but they were enforcing the letter of the law. So Jesus is saying, yes, thou shalt not kill. That's a good one. We got that? Got it figured out there? But it also says you should love your neighbor. You should care for the widow among you. And we know that Jesus is standing outside of the treasury one day watching people put in. Remember the story. You got to read your book. At least the first four chap books. I mean, if you don't read none of the rest of the thing, get those four and spend some time in them. Because if you don't know it and what it says, you can fall victim to those who think they know what it says. You see, it is these political appointees who want to keep the status quo. Jesus was upsetting that and challenging it. And he said, this very widow, remember the widow's mite? How many of you remember that story? We had about 5-7 hands. Okay. I'm testing you, folks. You got to read your book. I keep encouraging you to read it. I really do think that, you know, it's kind of like how many of you would hire a carpenter that showed up with no tools? You know, would you hire a mechanic that only had was a monkey wrench, a adjustable wrench? Would you take your car in there to get it worked on? If all he had was a sledgehammer and an adjustable wrench? I don't think so, especially if the windshield was bad. Yeah. What about it? If you don't read it, how do you know I'm telling you the truth? You don't. How do you know that TV guy or that radio guy is telling you the truth if you don't read your own book? How do you know that TV reporter or that national celebrity? Even Franklin Graham, he's out there all the time. If you don't read your own book, spend some time in it. It isn't difficult. Well, Pastor, I just don't understand it when I read it. Read it until you understand it. Read it in prayer. Read it through prayer. Jesus said, you don't have because you don't ask. He said, if any among you who lacks wisdom, pray, and the God of heaven will give it to you. So now we've got this political scene, right? And Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I'm going to stick with you. I'm going to stick with you. But those who hire, they're going to run the first sign of trouble. They're going to leave you out there. And they were doing that. The widow's mite. Jesus was watching, and she put in her last penny. That was it. She was a widow. She had put it all in. And now that was it. The very church that should have been taking care of her, who was commanded by God to take care of the widows and orphans among them, had just took this woman's last dime and would leave her to her own resources. It's a punch in the nose of that very organization who didn't care about the people it was given charge of. There was an integrity, an honoring of the spirit of what God had called them to do. We need to watch it today that the church don't become politicized and corrupted by false agendas. We need to remember that we are called to be servants, not to be served. We come to wait on. Jesus said, wash each other's feet. Don't be above them. But today it seems like everybody wants to be a leader instead of a servant. How many of you voted in this past election? I don't care how you voted, I just wonder if you did. Or any of the county elections. Did you know that you voted for elected leadership, right? I'm going to get political a little. Okay. They are not your bosses. Did you know that? They are to be your representative. I'm your pastor, not your boss. Our bishop should not be our boss, but our advocate. And guess what? Okay, stand up for just a second, please. You need your exercise. You're going to go to sleep. I see it. Now look around. This is what's wonderful about being face-to-face for worship. Look around. These are your responsibility too. You see, in the body of Christ, we are all sheep and He is the shepherd. Baby seated. You see, that's the problem in the church today is everybody wants to be a shepherd, but Jesus is the only one. We need to focus on Christ, keep Christ first. Even me. Do you know why I wear a collar that kills fleas and ticks for 90 days? Sorry, I just couldn't resist that. You know, it just kind of looks like a flea collar up here. Yeah, sorry. It reminds me that I am one under the yoke of Christ. I have no power and no authority outside of Christ. It reminds me that I am yoked to Him and to Him alone. In service and in sacrifice. You see, we're all sheep and He is the shepherd. I want you to notice that He says, I'm the good shepherd and my sheep know me and I know my sheep. How many of you have been around any sheep? They are the stinkiest, ugliest things. I'm sorry. They just are. They just smell from high heaven and they look like just this giant piece of steel wool that's nasty. And I'm thinking, you know, one of these days I'm probably going to be wearing one of those nasty things, but I hope they've washed it a lot. But then when they shave them down, they look like a chihuahua dog that's been washed. You know, it's all gone. It's just. But the thing about those sheep is that shepherd knows every one of them. They all look alike to me, but they don't look alike to that shepherd. And you know what? Every one of those sheep's important to that shepherd as he counts them, as he follows them, as he protects them. You see, those sheep aren't the brightest crayons in the box. When the wolf attacks, they huddle up. The wolf dives in and gets him on, and then they scatter. What happens when you're divided by the enemy? You fall. You become an easy victim. Be careful in our society and culture today when there is someone, something, or someone, or something, say it again, who seeks to divide us, for Christ is about uniting us. Be careful when there is discord instead of harmony. Be careful when there's confusion instead of calm. For God is a God of calm, peace, order. God is not part of that chaos. In the beginning, there was chaos, and God said, that ain't working. and there was darkness, and God said, I don't like that either. We need some of it. And Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me. It's about a personal relationship with Christ. That's why I tell you, read at least the first four books. It talks about Jesus. Introduces you to Jesus. Introduces you to what's going on in that world in different ways. I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. The hireling, he don't care. But the shepherd's going to watch out for the wolf. And when the wolf comes, he's going to protect them. But in order for the sheep to be protected by the shepherd, they have to stay where the shepherd can protect them. If they wander off all alone, the wolf will find them and devour them. You see, in order for the sheep to be safe, they've got to be where the shepherd can take care of them. It's the fall from grace that Wesley talked about. It's going out into the world and sinning. God's not going to bless your mess. You can live and do as you will, but it'll come with its consequences. But stay close to the shepherd, and you'll find it harder to be out there alone where you can be devoured by the wolf. If you got your Bible, I want you to underline something that's very important about this text. He goes down through here and he says, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. It's inclusive. It's inclusive to all. It brings them all in. They're all part of it. It isn't excluding anyone. I have other sheep who do not belong to this, not just for the Jews. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be, this is what to underline, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. One flock and one shepherd. There is one Christ, read Ephesians. There is one Christ, one Savior, one Redeemer, one Holy Spirit, one God, and one baptism unto salvation and redemption, and one Spirit who is through us all and in us all. Folks, we need to understand that if we believe that Jesus is the only way, truth, and life, then that's where the rubber meets the road. The rest of it is semantics, but we need to lay down our agendas and agree that we are all part of the same flock, and that we need to listen and follow the shepherd. Not agendas, but the word of God. That's not going on a lot today. We don't consult it very often. We go by our own will and way. We decide what's right and what's wrong. We need to start here and find what's right and wrong in the eye of God. You see, the shepherd calls us, and we all become sheep. But the sheep have purposes, don't they? I love leg of lamb. Does anybody else? Sorry, sometimes there are sacrifices, but you know. I'm thinking about eating. I didn't get any breakfast this morning. Ain't nobody else like that but me, right? Now I'm thinking about biscuits. Yeah. Don't you laugh. You're thinking about biscuits now too, I'll bet you. I bet you just went to the biscuits. You're thinking, do I have any of them grains in the freezer? I can have those ready. You know, that's just the way it is. With chopped up sausage in it. Whew. Or stuffed full of bacon and a hard fried egg. this won't will it. We're going to be down at the restaurant studying in church. But we are sheep. We need to remember that others are too. We need to live lives of integrity as Christians today. That's one of the problems that is going on, is our witness has been watered down. Our witness has been pushed out the window. Christians lie just like everybody else. We don't live honesty and integrity. We say one thing, but we do another. We are halfway committed to everything we do. We show up late. We don't show up. We won't serve. I tell you, I dread fall of the year as a pastor. Trying to get you people to serve on a committee is like trying to pull teeth. And I feel like I'm pulling you into the Inquisition or something sometimes. But you ought to be lined up seeking a way to serve. Shouldn't have to be asked. You should be saying, how can I? You see, that's what we should be doing as Christians. How can I serve? How can I wash the feet like Jesus washed the ones of his disciple? How can I serve? But instead, we want to be served. We want to be waited on. People come to church anymore and want to know, what kind of program you got? Which room can I put my kid in? I'm going to go back home and finish my coffee, but I'm going to leave my kid over here so he can go play and make funny little Jesus things, and I'll go put one on the fridge, and we'll say we were all at church. And then we got those pew Christians. We got pew Christians. They just a Christian on Sunday morning as long as they're in the pew. I've told you about pew Christians, haven't I? Okay, tell me what I said. They smell pew Christian. It ain't about being a Christian. It's about being a disciple. Jesus didn't say make Christians. Disciples. And he tells us, plain and simple, teach them to pick what they want to do. Right? Teach them that they can do what they want to do. Right? Find it in there. Come on. You know where it is. You read your book. Matthew says, and Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me under heaven and earth. Go and make disciples of all people, teaching them to obey all the things that I have taught you, and then baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You see, it's about obeying, not choosing. Serving Christ with integrity is about submitting to his authority. Well, Pastor, what do I get out of it? Well, fire insurance for starters. You know, you get a different eternity, but you can have a different life. It may not be anything like the one you think you want, but it'll be one that you find joy and peace in. It'll be where you find fulfillment. Jesus said, I came to give you life and make it more abundant. I came that you would have my peace, not the world's peace. The world's peace, by the way, is temporary. You ever notice that? How many of you ever played golf? That's a good way to run a walk, according to Mark Twain. You know, I used to play golf. I had to quit because I had to leave Jesus in the car. Because it wasn't fair for him to hear what I was thinking sometimes. I mean, it was just bad. And you go up and you tee off, you know. And man, that tee shot's so pretty. How many of you have ever watched that ball just kind of lift? And it's going straight. And it rolls down the fairway. And you're thinking, man, oh man, this is a par four. I'm laying just out on the frog hair. I got this. You know, you're over the green with your next shot, you know. It ain't how you drive, it's how you arrive. And the worst thing is, if you have a good hole, you got to tee up for another one. You know, it just lasts for a little while. You may get you a hole in one, or you may birdie that. But the next one, you may get a few extra shots on it, you know. Stop counting it, too. That way you're not so bad on that paper when you get out. It hurts so bad. That's the world, isn't it? It's funny, you're on top today by the world's standards, and it's likely to roll over on you tomorrow and crush you. One phone call can collapse a worldly fortune. But there's not enough devils to take your peace that Christ gives you. There's not enough in the world to steal away the joy that Christ will fill you with. There's no way that you can lose the hope that's eternal in Christ Jesus by anything in this world. If you trust in the eternal, the temporary won't steal it. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving, and merciful God, let us seek to serve you with integrity and with purpose, to follow you, to submit to you, for you know what is best for us even more than we do. Father, lead us and guide us in the shadow of the cross into the grace and mercy of the Good Shepherd, that he would lead and guide us and that we would trust in him in the eternal and not the temporary. Hear our prayers in Christ's name. Amen. May we go today knowing that in Christ we are one, irregardless of whether we're in Wyoming or Africa, whether we're in Rock Springs or New York City. For in Christ we are one, and in the body of Christ may there be no division. And now may the grace and peace of God that surpasses all understanding go with you, bless you, and keep you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.